Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Transformational Leadership Dialogue. I'm here with David Robinson from TrulyPowerful.com. I'm Alan Seal from the Center for Transformational Presence at TransformationalPresence.org. And we have more people who are just popping on, lots and lots of people coming on the call today. We have about 150 people registered, so people will just keep coming in, and we're looking forward to seeing where we go today. You know, the purpose of these dialogues is to explore new paradigms of leadership in community and business, society and government, and discover approaches and ways of thinking, fundamental shifts in perception that can help shape leadership in service of a greater good. So we have lots of topics in mind for future calls, and we'd love to hear from you about topics that you would love for us to explore together on these calls, questions that you'd like to be addressed. So just send an email to me at alanseal@alanseal.com or to David at david@trulypowerful.com, and we would just really love to hear from you. So, David, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here today. I'm excited to see where we go.
Yeah. So let's get started. People are still coming in, and but let's get started. Today our topic is when the resistance is winning. And this is really following up on our last Transformational Leadership Dialogue, where some of the participants were really loving the ideas and concepts we were talking about, yet they were kind of finding a lot of challenges in bringing these ideas into their organizations. And so they were talking about pushback and even a organizational or societal culture that just doesn't want to hear what they have to say. So we realized that today, to follow up on that, that we needed to focus on what's really happening on the ground, in the trenches. And so that's where we are here today. I mean, David, how are you kind of remembering that call, and what have been your thoughts about it, where we're headed today?
Yeah, you know, excuse me, we really, after the call, had lots of conversations with folks and email conversations, and really recognized that it was easy for us to talk at 30,000 feet. You know, that we brought so many great ideas and concepts and some just lovely, lovely responses about how do I bring this down into my life? How do I drop from the desire into actually activating these things within some very difficult circumstances? And so Alan and I really wanted to at least start that process. That's an enormous conversation, but to kind of go to the epicenter of it, and then over the next, you know, few calls, perhaps build out from there.
You know, I went for a walk after that call because I admit I left the call kind of frustrated, not because of what had happened in the conversation, because it was amazing and rich and fantastic, and a little frustrated that I felt like I didn't have the kind of response I wanted to be able to have. And so I went for a walk and talked to the trees, as I do when I have questions and I'm looking for the next step, and started to really understand on a deeper level that we get so caught up in complexity and complication and think that therefore we have to approach those things in complex or complicated ways, complicated processes. And then when we step into that, we just get even more exhausted and disheartened easily. And so I was thinking, you know, there's got to be a simple way here, and recognizing that actually to go into complexity and complication or what seem to be really huge issues in a complex way, it's pretty much a guarantee that things are not going to change. It's just going to slow it down. As I've heard you talk about so often, David, in organizations and business structure, they love abstractions and keeping things a little bit opaque, you know, and that's not getting us anywhere. So how do we cut through? And that's really what I was asking on that walk that day, and came up with five question process that really can open doors. It's a place to start in a really simple way, and to, in a sense, pierce the complexity with simplicity. How can we get right to the heart of the complexity or whatever feels so huge and enormous? How do we get right to the heart of it? And I even have this image of a huge, huge ball of string that's all tangled up, and taking this key, one of those old-fashioned, you know, skeleton keys, and just sticking it right into the center of the ball and turning it, and the ball starts to fall open. That it just, you know, the ball of string kind of relaxes and loosens a bit, so we begin to be able to see into it and understand more of how to go. So, you know, I don't know, David, do you want to talk any more about this, or should we just dive in and talk about those five questions?
I think we should just dive in, because I one of the things, as we, you know, are preparing to dive in, that you just spoke so beautifully to is this idea that you can't change a complexity with a complexity. And that's actually a systems change rule, that you really need to go to the local simplicity, find the simplicity. And that's where the work of real transformation begins. So let's jump in.
Well, so these five questions are, number one, so what are three things that I know to be true here? The second question is, then which of those things holds the most power for me to explore right now? The third question, we'll come back and talk about these, but just to give you an overview of all five. The third question then, with that thing that you choose to explore, if there were something new trying to happen or something wanting to shift within that one piece, what might that be? Number four, so who do you choose to be in that shift? What do you choose as your role with that shift? And the fifth question, what is a very simple yet powerful question that you can ask of yourself or others to begin movement toward that shift? So let's go back and look at those questions one at a time. First, so what are three things that I know to be true here? You know, even when we think we don't know anything about how to proceed, we feel so stuck. We still know at least three things about what's going on, even if one of them is I'm really angry or I'm really tired or, you know, whatever. That's two things we know at least right there. But whatever comes up is what we start to work with. No judgment on that at all. So the first step is just to acknowledge three things that you know right now. And one of those three things can lead you to a shift in perception or help you come to some clarity on at least a next step. And that's all we're looking for here. As we look at these five questions, it's something, you know, David, we were talking about so much in the Transformational Presence Leadership and Coach Training class yesterday about if we are approaching things, approaching our work, looking for solutions, then it's really hard. But if we're just approaching it and from a place of discovery and seeing what's showing up next or what is there here to discover, what is the message, what is the gift, then the work can flow in a much, much easier way.
So, I also think, you know, it's very important, you know, one of the things that I loved about these questions as you laid them out is that sometimes it's about finding out where to start, giving yourself a very concrete, very simple way to stop running around, stop pushing against things, to stop resisting things, to just stop and to ask yourself a very simple question that orients you.
Yeah.
And what are the three things, just three things that you know to be true here? It breathes a little space around tension.
And so once you've acknowledged three things that you know right now, then that we move on to the next question. So which of those things feels most important for you to explore right now? Which one holds the greatest power right now in your circumstance? Or perhaps another way to ask the question is, which one do you feel like you could actually touch and start to work with right now? Because sometimes the issue can be so hot that it's hard to touch it anywhere. So we're just looking for any place that we can just touch it there. And then that's, as David, as you're saying, that's our starting place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before you began this process, you kind of didn't know where to begin. And by asking these first two questions now, as David says, you have a place to start. And so then you ask the next question. With this one thing that you've chosen to explore, if there were a shift trying to happen down underneath it, What might that shift be? Or other ways that you might ask that question would be, what is this feeling or this truth actually trying to tell you or ask you for? What does it need right now? What's it trying to show you? So we take just another step in, and we're gathering another piece of information. It's just information. There's no need to judge it as it's not good or bad, right or wrong. It's just information. And what do you choose to do with that information? How do you choose to relate to it or to respond to it? Here we are in the third question now, or the fourth question here, rather, that who do you choose to be here? What role do you choose to play in this shift that's wanting to happen, or this message that's trying to come through? All options are valid. There's no right or wrong. So it's about what's going to work for you right now, what can work if it's in the case of an organization or a team, what can work for them right now that can make the biggest difference in service of something bigger to help you take a step forward. And if it feels like those are two separate things, what will serve you and what will serve something bigger, then sit with both. What works for you as well as what will serve a greater good. And find the place where you can be at peace inside with those together. Just sit quietly in it. See where you can go. And then finally, that last question. What's a simple yet powerful question that you can ask of yourself or others to start moving forward? Or if we were to say that another way, what's a question that wants to be asked in service of a greater potential? And then ask that question. See what new door opens. When that door opens, even if it's just a tiny bit, well, open a little more, walk through that door, and see where you are, and start with question number one again. So now what three things do I know? And then we just keep moving through this process as a way to start, to take you the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step.
I think there's something really important about, you know, when we were preparing for this call, Alan and I were talking about how easy it is to put your eyes on the problem, you know, to put your focus on the challenge, as opposed to really intentionally putting your focus on what the potential is. What's there? What's the opportunity that's in front of you? And what I'm appreciating about these questions is that they start with you. It is, I think, one of those ways of keeping your focus on the problem is to focus on trying to change the organization, trying to change the leadership.
Or just the other person, if it's a personal issue.
Right, right.
Yeah, so trying to change
something instead of...
Yeah.
To really start with the only thing that you really can immediately impact, which is how are you within this circumstance? What do you see? What do you not see? And to really, you know, again, to stop and breathe space around it and identify without judgment, as Alan has said, what you know. What are your assumptions?
So let's play with these questions a little bit. We'll invite you to, you're just there in the privacy of your own space, to bring to your awareness a challenge that you're having. What's a complexity for you or something that you're not quite sure where to go with next? I'll give you just a moment to bring that to your awareness. And what we'll do is go through these questions in kind of a group exercise here. And then we'll open it up to you for your response. What happened? What are you discovering with the questions and so forth? So you won't need to tell us your personal story at all, just what are you discovering in using the questions. So let's just take a moment and choose whatever the issue is you'd like to explore. And if even bringing that issue to your awareness brings you a state of anxiety or just a little anxiousness, it's okay. Just take a few deep breaths let yourself be with it, and know we're just going to go to this issue in a really simple way. Gentle with yourself. And so with this topic, this issue, what are three things that you know to be true here? Whether that's facts about about what's going on, or whether that's stuff inside of you, can be anything. What are three things you know to be true here? And then imagine those three things are sort of sitting there in the room with you. Feel into each of them a bit. Which one of those things actually holds the most power for you to work with right now? Which one do you feel like you can actually touch? Explore a little bit. Then bring your focus just to that one piece, one thing. And as you sit with that one thing, take a breath and drop underneath it. If there were something trying to happen or wanting to shift here, what might that be? There was a message trying to come through. Letting go of your preconceived notion of what that should be. And let that thing talk to you. It. And as you start to get a sense of, here's actually what's wanting to happen, or here's the message that's trying to come through to me, then who do you choose to be with that message? Or what role do you realize is yours to play in actually making that shift? There's something that wants to happen here. What's your part in that? You don't have to know how you're going to do it. You don't have to know anything except that I think maybe this is my place. This is who I choose to be. And from that choice, then, what is one simple question that you can ask, whether it's to yourself or to others that you're working with? Start moving toward that shift. Just a simple question that perhaps can reveal a next step. So with these five questions, obviously this is a little artificial as we're kind of doing this in a group process here, if you were working with a coach here, or you were coaching a client with these questions, then there might be some back and forth here with the questions. But the important piece is that we're not trying to conquer the whole issue. We're just opening a door. We're just moving into a place of discovery and out of a place of problem solving. See, what is there here for us? So let's hear from some of you. If you just press 1 on your phone, I'll see your hand raised and I'll give you a mic. What are you discovering through these questions as a way of working? Who can speak about what you're discovering here? Sherry, you have the mic.
Thank you, Alan. I love this set of questions, and what a great process for self-coaching. What I'm discovering is, I think you mentioned before, sort of that tangle, and I'm noticing that going through the questions is very soothing, and it brings me to a place of sort of being able to move out of the tangle, you know, the tangled string or whatever it is, and coming back to this simple first step, which might, you know, which is a question, and then it's a process of simplicity I see that is very helpful because I can get to a first question or a first step. But it's very, what I'm really noticing is the quality of being soothed, of I can get such, you know, make it such a big deal in my own mind, as we know we do, you know, as it goes around and round and round. And so this is a way through. And I like what you said, it's a process or a place of discovery and out of problem solving. So that's what I have to say.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love that word soothing that you said, Sherry, because, I think that there is very much that kind of quality here, if you'll let it be there, that, or this even sigh of relief that, oh, my gosh, I don't have to conquer the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I can just take one step. That's all.
Right.
And I can discover instead of have to solve the problem. Thank you for just reinforcing that.
Thank you.
David, anything you're wanting to say about what Sherry?
No, I was just, you know, I was just also taken with, you know, that beautiful word soothing and moving out of the tangle. And really, you know, Sherry spoke to it so beautifully about stepping into the simplicity of it actually gives you an activation point.
Yeah. Let's give the mic to Dan.
Yeah, I was looking at it with respect to, I found a link between these questions and project management in general. A lot of times when you approach a huge project, it can be very overwhelming. And sometimes stepping back through a process like this says, maybe I don't need to figure the whole thing out right now. Maybe I just need to figure out what's the next step to take.
Exactly.
So I got that link.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. And it seems another important thing that you're bringing down here is, as we talked some about on the call last month, that things are happening so fast that chances are if you're trying to figure out how to solve the whole thing by a week or 6 months down the road when that next step or five steps down the road might come up, things will have changed by then anyway. And so all I can do is take the next step and then follow the energy, pay attention to what's going on, see what's being asked for next, and then we take the next step. And so, yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, it may be very prudent to know that after you've gone through this process, it could be that the powerful question or the point of debarkation that you're taking actually may, if you cycle back, if that's not working, you may have learned three new things about the process that you didn't know when you first did the exercise.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love how you're saying that.
And you know, Dan, it really, you so beautifully just now articulated that those words that Alan set up for us at the very beginning about moving away from a sort of solutions or outcome process and into a discovery process, so that looping back is keeping you in that real cycle of discovery.
And as you talk about the looping back, I get this image of a big spiral. You know, we just keep going around the spiral, and we come back to the same place on the circle in a sense, but now we're up at a different, at a higher level. We have a different view, a different set of circumstances, and so we keep discovering each time we come back around to question one again. So,
so true.
Yeah. Let's give the mic to Catherine. Let me just... wait, I just think we lost Catherine. Hopefully, no, there you are. Okay. Catherine, you have the mic.
Thank you. That word, soothing, is so great. My issue is with one of my relatives that I've had such a difficult relationship with throughout my life, and... my truth is that I want to experience a loving, happy, peaceful relationship with her, and the problem is I don't know how to do that. And so I wanted to get clear on, well, what is it I want? And I want her to hear me.
So what did you discover here? Go ahead.
Yeah, but the only way I know how to do that is in a religious way, in that I'm going to ask God to guide me when I speak with her today, because I want to talk to her today and have some sort of shift in our relationship today. And so I'm going to ask God to guide me through that conversation and to own my part of it. I can't make her do anything, right? So that I can certainly focus on me and express to her what I would like to have emerge, and also what is emerging from me, and owning that I'm initiating the whole thing, and there's nothing incumbent upon her, and I'm asking to be guided. I don't know, that's the clearest I can make it.
That's beautiful, Catherine, because you have now you got some kind of response in a way. I mean, every one of those questions was addressed, and now you're going to come back to number one again, either after your conversation with her and maybe even during it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let yourself be in those questions, even as you're sitting in the conversation, and just being aware of, I can choose who I'm going to be here. Here's what I know now, and here's what's wanting to shift as I'm sensing that right now. And so what is my role in that shift? And equally important, perhaps, is what is not my role in that shift? And then what is a simple question that I can ask here that opens the dialogue between us, takes us to another level? So
yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Could
that.
You?
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you think you could? Sometimes I confuse acceptance and resignation, because most of my life I go, oh, okay, well, that's the way she is. That's the way it is, and that's resignation. But I can't force her to be another way.
How do you,
you know,
sense,
what I mean?
How do you feel the energy of those two words in your body? What happens in your body with the word resignation? And then what happens with the word acceptance?
Well, of course, with resignation, I feel sadness. With acceptance, I feel peace.
And does one open or close your whole being more?
Well, peace, of course, makes me feel peace and happiness. I guess I just realized out of you asking those questions how attached I am to the outcome of our conversation. Maybe I've got to work on my attachment.
Also something to explore with these five questions. And now you have a new answer to number one.
Yeah, I'm attached.
Yeah, so see where the questions
take
you with that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's give the mic to Roxana.
Hi. Well, whatever. I haven't been from the very beginning. I had troubles getting in. And it was not the problem of the line. It was my problem. But what I have heard got me to the question, who I am, really. And what was strange was that after this question, the first one that came out was, what can I give more instead of, what can I get? You know, if I clarify who I am, it should be logical from the social patterns, actual social patterns, that I should think of what can I get. And instead of that, it came, what can I give more? And somehow it was surprising. The second thing was the other person, I'm really sorry, I don't know the name.
Okay.
He said something like moving away from a solution. And for me, it was quite logical at that second. It was, of course, I don't want a solution from the past, because actually my logical and rational mind will always give me a solution which comes from the past, which is always a result of the patterns, of the automatic patterns I got during my education and during because of the country I was born in, and, you know, culture and everything. So I had a feeling like, okay, just stop here. The past does not exist. Do you have the courage to look to a brand new future? And I realized that the fear to look to a brand new future without the automatic beliefs and truth from the past is really very difficult to look to, because instead of having the perception like okay, this is a new, how can I say, it's like a new canvas, I don't know the name in English, sorry, the canvas, the support you start to paint to. So instead of being like a support on which you draw your own future, somehow because of my fears, it felt like a black hole. I don't know if it was clear. I'm sorry, English is not my native language.
You're doing great. You're doing just fine. And so my question would be to you then, if the fear comes, fine. And so ask the fear, and what does the fear want for you to know? Or what does the fear need for you to hear? It has a message. It has a need of something. And so,
I was thinking about this. Yeah, I know it has a message, and it's something like, are you sure you are not wrong? it's like I'm afraid to make a mistake. And in the same time, my rational mind, I used to say the positive part of my rational mind says, how can you make a mistake when you actually are the middle of your own universe? Because actually, if you think about an infinite universe, I'm right in the middle, and you are right in the middle, and, you know, something like this. So I know that my fear is generated, it is generated by this fear of making a mistake, but I don't know how to go over it, over this.
And so
I have sometimes I'm quite aware of transformational process, and I've been to several seminars with Werner Erhard and different people like this, and I've tried to locate the fear in my body, and I've tried to see what's going on, but I always arrive to the same point, like inside of me there is a kind of memory. I don't have access to this memory on a logical, on a rational.
So Roxanne, I'm just gonna
stop you
here for a moment and just invite you then back to these five questions to say even. Not at all. I don't at all mean to imply that these five questions are the solutions to everything, or are the cure, or the key for everything. But as we're speaking about these five questions today, just to see how going through these five questions and from number five coming back to number one, staying in a discovery place. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing to solve. It's certainly not about I have to get rid of the fear. If we start moving into this place of discovery and recognizing that everything that's here is something that we can co-create with, and what is the message that it brings, how does it become my next co-creative partner, see what can unfold simply from a place of discovery as we go there. And thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. I see that Shelley also wants to speak, and I want to go there in just a moment. But, David, I'd love to come back to you for a moment because of something that Roxanna said first. To her one first piece was about this recognition about giving as opposed to getting. And you speak about that so beautifully in this shift that is also important for us to have. I'm just wondering if you can talk about that a little bit now.
Yeah, I actually wrote that down because I thought, because the way that Roxanna brought it to us is associated with the fear. And initially, at least what I heard, was that the fear comes up. Those are two orientations into the world. And when we're in the world looking for what we can get, that's there's oftentimes, I believe, underneath that, the idea that we need to be fixed or that we're missing something. And so that it makes sense that that's where the fear shows up. You know, that's the orientation that's going to say, I'm broken. I need to be fixed. I'm missing something. So I'm in the world searching for the answer, seeking for the peace. And there's a really beautiful, very simple shift that happens when you intentionally place yourself in the world according to what you bring to it. In some ways, you know, this setup that you gave for us, Alan, between solutions and discovery, you know, when you're oriented according to what you can get, you're in a solution, an outcome mode. And when you just reorient yourself, when you really intentionally each day look in the mirror and say, what am I bringing to this day? What do I bring? You leave that, you know, I need to be fixed belief, or I'm looking for the answer belief behind, and you reorient yourself according to your potential and your gifts and a process of discovery, because you do not try to hold on to the control of the day. You actually enter the day according to the gifts and the power that you bring to it. You open yourself up to discovery. And so it makes sense. The way that Roxana laid that out made perfect sense.
Wonderful. Thank you.
The way she's looking. Yeah.
Let's go to Shelley. You have the mic.
Hi. Thank you. This brought up my major thing at the moment, which is attempting to move to Australia on a student visa with three children on my own. And the three questions, the main one I came up with that really stood out for me was, I will regret this if I do not try. And I cannot begin to imagine regret. That's one thing I don't want to do anymore. I'm 33 next week and I have had 33 years worth of regret. And I don't want to do that anymore. I guess if there was a shift trying to happen, it would be a shift from fear to faith, because the truth of the situation is I have enough money to see us through about 1.5 years, where the degree that I'm going to do is 3 years. So I'm terrified. I'm desperately seeking guaranteed financial security. And I need to, what role do I choose to play in the shift that's trying to happen? I guess that is being in a place of faith in the law of attraction, faith in myself, faith that things will work out. It's a difficult one. I'm always thrown between, am I completely mad or can I make it work? And these questions are really quite powerful. And I was grappling trying to find solutions and trying to say, no, I don't need solutions. Just go with the flow.
Yeah. And sometimes easier said than done. And so we acknowledge that. And therefore easier said than done to say, okay, so what is just one step then I can take right here? There's so many ways that we could explore this in another situation, Shelley, but I just would invite you to go stand in a place that you choose to represent, having finished that study program, that course in Australia, and remember what it was like through those 3 years, how you did it, how you got there, what was there for you, how things unfolded, and see what other insights there are for you by standing in that future spot. It's not standing in today and imagining it, but literally choose a spot in the room or in the outdoors. Stand as you step into that spot, literally step into a different space and time, and see what there is for you to discover there.
Yeah, I think I've almost done that a few times, and it is quite an incredible intense feelings that come of accomplishment, of pride in myself, of growth, self-development. There are so many things about this move that are important to me, and the risk is massive, but the risk of me not doing it, I think, is also as massive. And the gain I will get, what I can see, what I feel when you said that is it's indescribable.
Mm-hmm. So you might ask...
No, Shelley. Oh, go ahead. Emma. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, you might ask the future then, what is it asking of you? And just see what comes there as you continue to explore. David.
You know, it's this word risk that I would offer to you, Shelley, to explore as being your very best friend. And what I mean by that is that, you know, in story form, I do a lot of work through story. So that's the orientation that this question is coming to. You know, I often ask people in the story of Little Red Riding Hood, what's the essential character to move the story forward? And it's the wolf. Without the wolf, that story has no place to go. And what we try to do, businesses and people, or we all try to do the same thing. We try to remove the wolf from our story, which essentially removes the thing that fuels our steps forward. And so in doing the future self and stepping into that place, one of the things that you might really look at is how important this massive risk is to moving you into that new place, rather than trying to remove it. How do you work with it?
Beautiful, David. Thank you. Thank you for that. Anyone else? The five questions or questions about using the five questions? I call this model the deep simple. Simplest questions to take us really deep. Julie wants to speak. I'm giving you the mic.
Hi, thank you. I've been enriched already by this, but the reason I signed up for this was I was thinking of a particular client I have who seems to be stuck. And I guess I want to know if I introduce these questions in our conversation to help him move through some of what might be going on for him. I think I feel some fear that in the introduction of it, how do I present it to him so that it appears to be respectful of where he is and not seen as something irrelevant to his looking for a job?
Mm-hmm.
How do you open this up with clients?
That's a really, really great question, Julie. And so, first of all, if he is, if you're in that place of sort of overwhelm, or he's in that place of exasperation, or I just don't know where to go next, and then there's your opening right there, is just to say, for a moment, just for a bit, I really recognize and I appreciate, I respect the huge nature of this challenge right now. And I'm wondering if just for a moment we could step back from it and just take a deep breath and say, you know what, what are three things that I know right now about this? And maybe it's, again, you know, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And maybe it's, I feel really worn down. Or maybe it's, my confidence is gone. But whatever it is, and maybe it's, you know, there's somebody that I need to call that I've been putting off calling. That may also show up, you know. But whatever that is, it just gives you an opening. And as Sherry, the very first person who spoke, spoke about soothing, spoke about a relief. It's just the relief even of, for a few minutes, let's just step back from it. Let's step back from trying to solve this. We both acknowledge that ultimately we got to find a job again. But let's just step back for that for a moment and give yourself a chance to breathe. Just what are three things that are so clear to you right now? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Huge gentleness and compassion.
Yeah.
And it's really, what we're doing in these questions is, it's an invitation. It's a word that I use all the time in coaching, because I believe that coaching is all about invitation. We're inviting our client into a different perspective, into another awareness, into a larger sense of themselves, into their greatest potential, into whatever that is. We are constantly inviting our clients. And in this case, you're in a sense inviting your client to have a rest for a moment. You're inviting your client into a space where the whole world is not on their shoulders for a moment. So let it be an invitation.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. And what I'm also noting about myself is that I hold this idea that I am supposed to be an expert in helping this client find work. And so I need to do some self-management with not forcing myself on the client, but letting the process be the client's process.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so asking that first question for yourself, so what are three things I know about this right now? What are three things I know about what's going on for me right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't at all mean to imply that this is a formula for coaching. That's not the point. It's just it's a structure. It's a perspective. It is an approach. Everything about transformational presence leadership and transformational presence coaching, it's an approach. It's an approach of discovery. It's an approach of understanding that everything is energy. It is an approach of invitation of different perspectives and other levels of awareness. So, David, anything you want to add here?
Yeah, you know, Julie, I'm so appreciative of, I mean, you're describing somebody who's in a kind of a survival mode, you know, and when people get into survival mode, they do not act out of their rational. It's a panic place. And this invitation, you know, that Alan is really offering is, you know, sometimes the thing you need to do when you're in survival mode is to just stop and challenge the assumptions that you're making that keep you in that place. And I also really appreciate what you're saying about, you know, your need to kind of look at what your role is in that ultimately, you know, the impulse is to want to try to help it and fix it, you know. It's always that in the coaching role. And in a way, to really, really step back and say, what is my role here? How do I, you know, you can't help the fear, you can't help the stuckness, but you can facilitate this beautiful process of discovery.
Yeah. Thank you.
And, it's very powerful, this question of survival.
We have one more hand up. Chris, I'm giving you the mic.
Hi, Alan. Gosh, I have to say ditto, I guess, at this point. Mostly everybody covered everything. And as I was listening to your approach, the title I was giving it was, What If It Were Easy? I think that should be the name of your program here.
Thank you. That's nice.
The one thing I guess I could add to what everybody else has said is that there's a physical component as well that I noticed, and that is that, you know, when you're stuck in a really tough decision, you know, just the physiology changes. Your heart feels tight, your throat closes up, and that alone, I think, doesn't serve well to, you know, make a good decision. So I found that just taking that easy and, you know, don't have to jump to the end and just take it one step at a time, I noticed, you know, my heart was actually more open and, you know, answers were coming pretty quickly then. So I think that was another benefit.
Great. Great. Wonderful. What else as we come towards the top of the hour here? Well, you know, to kind of wrap up this whole idea of the deep simple, when we can give ourselves and our clients just one task, just to discover the next step, then we have so much better chance of, in time, breaking through the complexity and getting all the way through to the other side of whatever the circumstance or the situation is. And there's quite likely to be transformation as well if we are staying in that discovery place and just focusing on the next step and then the next step. if we're trying to focus on the complexity and tackle that huge situation all at once, we just get exhausted. But if we can step back into the simplicity and just, it's just the discovery of the next step. It's also, in complexity, the shift that will change everything is almost never going to be apparent on the surface. And so when we step back and kind of relax into that place a little bit and just ask, what are three things that I know? Those three things that we suddenly know are often coming from deep, deep within what is. They're usually not coming from the surface. Just asking that simple question takes us into another place of awareness most of the time. And then we just ask that question, and we cut through to the essence quickly, and you don't worry about what's going to happen, what's going to unfold. It's just, it will unfold. We just go through that step-by-step, such simple process, one step at a time, and see what shows up. And I'm not saying at all that this process will resolve everything in the many layers of what's going on, but what I do know and what I have experienced now in working with these questions with many groups and individual clients is that they can break open the complexity and show you a path forward. They'll open the situation enough for you to then find, aha, here's where the real coaching is. Here's where the gold is. Here's where we need to be focused in going forward. David, anything you want to say here as we're wrapping up today?
You know, I just want to reinforce what you said and offer that the shift that happens when you ask those three questions, so you take your focus off an outcome or a fear, and you actually place your focus on the creation of the relationship that you're having with this moment. It becomes about, that's how you address a complexity. That's the simplicity, is to put your focus on the relationship that you are creating with yourself, with your circumstance, with the other people, the business, so that you work the relationship and not the outcome. You work the energy and not the story.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. As we wrap up today, just to say that there's an article in the March newsletter, The Transformer, on my website. You can find that in the newsletter archives about the Deep Simple, about these five questions. And so you can find that process there, and if that's helpful for you as a further reference. David, anything you want to share with us about what's coming up for you?
Yeah, on Monday I start a telecoaching class called The Open Story, which is actually a sequel to a class we're just wrapping up called The Ground Truth. You need not go through The Ground Truth to step into The Open Story. So that starts, and continuing work with reinventing education in some incredible educators in the state of Nebraska. So those are filling up my spring and summer into the fall.
Wonderful, wonderful. I also have a couple of teleclass series that are coming up in the summer. One is a four-session Soul Mission, Your Purpose in Life, Your Gift to the World, and then an eight-session Manifestation Wheel. All that information is on my website at transformationalpresence.org. David's website is trulypowerful.com. The Transformational Presence Leadership and Coach Training, there's a deadline coming up for April 15th for the early bird price for the Boston 5-day residential in October. So if that's something that interests you, you might want to check that out, since there's a pretty significant price break up until April the 15th. There will also be residentials coming up in 2012 in the Netherlands, in Sweden, and in the UK. And the 7-month teleclass version starts again that David and I teach together in October. So if you're willing and if you're ready to take your leadership to the next level, your coaching to the next level, your life to the next level, both David and I are certainly happy to speak with you and see how we can support you going forward with that. Look for the announcement of our next call, and thank you, everybody, for being with us today.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks, David. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
You are currently the only person in this conference.